Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut in pouches that gives you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz that you're used to without tobacco. Fully Loaded Chew comes in 9 flavors and is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine there is. To give us a try, head on over to fullyloadedchew.com for a $1 can of chew with free shipping when you enter the code OUTDOOR1. OUTDOOR and the number 1. Lastly, many outdoorsmen are trying to quit tobacco altogether, and Fully Loaded Chew may be that first step. For more information on our product line, visit fullyloadedchew.com.
I'm not going to mess with anything. I can hear you well enough, and I think you're recording according to the thing. So,
look at us.
Well, look at us, Paul. We made it to the new year.
Made it to the new year, and we're doing our first in-person podcast recording.
This is weird.
And we live like 5 minutes from each other. We've never recorded a podcast together. So,
yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to think about this, but it's good. It's nice. It's nice. Better than the old Zoom call. So,
yes, it is.
Let's see here. What have you been up to, man? Did you get out in the water a little bit?
I did. I went duck hunting twice in the last week. Today is the third. Yesterday, the second, we Central Ohio had like the first significant cold front that we've had. I feel like all year or in a while. I mean, I don't remember. And we had some rain. Temperature drop. It was snowing sideways. So, me and all my duck hunting buddies, we went out to the marsh at Delaware. I'll tell you guys where I am. I don't care because there's a bunch of spots out there. And I knew that it was going to be kind of pressured, but there was probably 10 to 15 groups hunting this. It might have been more marsh. And if you're a duck hunter, there's a term called sky busting. And it's when the ducks are higher than what your shot can reach. And so you shouldn't shoot. You shouldn't sky bust. And I'll tell you what, man, we saw a ton of ducks. I mean, a ton, hundreds of ducks. And so the way ducks will work is they'll kind of like, they'll circle, they'll look at decoy sets and they'll just try to find areas they're making sure that things are safe. A lot of times they'll just commit right away as soon as they come into the area. But most of the time they'll circle and kind of pick. And I'll tell you what, man. We had like flocks at like multiple times, like 30 people. These ducks are 250, 300 feet in the air, maybe more than that. And people are popping shots off. And these ducks are gone. I mean, gone. And it's just like you're ruining it for everybody. It's like, stop it. Stop, 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 stop. So stop sky busting. No sky busting 2022. At Delaware, we can do better, but it was cool, man. It was, I've got, two of my buddies. I've got them into hunting over the last year, just through the stories that I've told, and, Brandon and they listen to the show, but the first ducks that we had come in the other day, I look over, he's sitting right next to me to my left and he's shaking uncontrollably. And it warmed my heart, man. Cause I love seeing that. Like you know how it is, you get the shakes, yeah. Everyone does. And that's the stuff like you don't want to lose as you get older, or, not older, but more experienced in the woods of the marsh. And it was awesome, man. I love seeing it. He was shaking like a leaf every time, man. Just cracking me up. So Brandon, keep that passion, my friend.
Yeah, that's awesome, Paul. It's always good getting somebody out there for the first time or two.
Yeah, but for sure. Good time. What about you, man? Christmas, New Year's, all that good stuff.
Yep. So I got to go back out to the woods. My knee is back good enough to get out there. So that was nice. Saw some deer, but still nothing. No antlered deer that I'm interested in. So yeah, I did that. That was nice. But then what was it? This is the second year, I guess. We decided last year to grind and process all of our own venison. So it turned out that my wife and I are not big partiers by any means. Usually it's like 8:30 or 9 o'clock. We're in bed. It's done. So last year we decided to do all of the grinding of the deer on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And it's now our tradition. And it's going to be, that's the plan, to do that. So we had three deer that we had to get ground up. I put some of the pictures there on Instagram and stuff, but it's a process, man. It takes time, get it trimmed, and then cubed, and you got to keep everything cold. So we do like a batch at a time and then put the stuff back in the freezer, and we end up with like 76 pounds of ground venison.
Oh, wow.
So I actually was a little bit disappointed in that. I thought we'd have more, but it's okay.
So do you quarter everything up and then freeze it when you shoot the deer? And then to like you unthaw it, process it, like do you cut up roast or do you just do like grind it? Do you cut up steaks? What do you do?
So I don't do any steaks. The roasts, we'll take a few roasts out, back straps and tenderloins. Everything else I basically put into a grind bucket. And that's just because we use it more that way than anything else. I'm sure the best way is not to shoot the deer in October, freeze it until January 1st or whatever, and then work with it. But I don't really have an option, right? And I don't have a huge cooler to throw it in. We're going to get a butcher on someday, this is one of the questions I have. And so far, it's just the way it's been because I don't have any other option. But I put it in the freezer, then we thaw it out, cube it up, run it through the grinder, all that stuff. And it's fun. And I think it's good for the kids. Something went
wrong. I believe that was Alexa chiming in.
I hate that thing.
She's probably listening.
She's listening.
Big text after us.
I think it's important for the kids to see where their food comes from and how, just how all that works. They tend to not, they don't sit there and do it with us, but they're around. They just
hang out.
So yeah, that was our big marathon grinding session. But
it's pretty cool. I took my nephew Levi rabbit hunting. So he's gone. I think this was his like overall his fourth hunt ever. So turkey, deer, and then we went rabbit hunting. And I've got my youngest daughter. She is my next in line to learn how to hunt. Her older sister, I don't think she's gonna be into it. I just had that feeling. But I asked Maura. I was like, hey, do you want to go rabbit hunting? And she's like, are we gonna shoot the rabbits? I'm like, yeah, we're gonna shoot the rabbits. And she's three, and just deadpan, just looks at me, and she's like, why would you shoot a rabbit? I like rabbits; they're cute. And I just like, you know what? I'm starting to lose this battle. So I don't know. I need to ask like some of these fathers, like Tony Peterson. I should ask him, like, because my girls are girly. I mean, that is Barbies and pink and princesses and all that that comes with it. You know, their idea of like woodland critters is like singing musicals and shit to them, so not killing them. So I got some work to do on that front, but
very cool.
Yeah, I can hear your chickens.
You hear the rooster out there?
Yeah, I hear your rooster. Hopefully, everyone else can hear that.
That's Mater.
You got Alexa and roosters going on. So
hey, man, this is the good stuff that we learn when we're doing this in person. So
I had this thought the other day. Sitting in the marsh, and it was nice and quiet. And I was like, you know, we need to do some cool, like non-hunting related or non-hunting centric, like podcast ideas. And I was thinking, like, trying to figure out like what would be a good, like a cool topic. Like one year for the Golf Course Superintendents Association, they brought in a brewmaster for one of the monthly meetings, and it was awesome. It wasn't like some PhD, you know, from a turf company talking about, you know, grass seed or whatever. It was this guy talking about, hey, this is how we brew beer. It's cool. Yeah. And like, we're all like, this is amazing. This is like the greatest topic. So I don't know what would be like, if you can think of, cause there's a big filler that we're going to have to figure out. And I'm hoping some of our listeners will get on Instagram or Twitter when it gets unlocked.
Yeah. For the record, Paul got us,
It's tied to my personal account. I got a little handsy, I guess, with Twitter, a little aggressive, and they suspended me for 7 days, but I don't know. What would you think would be a cool? I mean, what's going on in mid-February? Like, you know, what
are we? You're getting close to shed hunting season.
Shed hunting? You and your sheds, man. You love that.
I do. It's so fun. No, that's a good idea. We'll have to do some brainstorming. If anybody out there has any ideas, I do. Brian Hall told me he wants to hear Butcher, and
Butcher would be cool. That would be a real cool.
Butcher would be good.
Yeah, that'd be a real cool topic, I think.
But yeah, we'll have to find. Maybe we'll get like a little bit of a homesteading type of.
Yeah, the one like kind of topic that's associated with, you know, the outdoors and, you know where your food come from. That we're on Kelly's Island last summer, and I can never pronounce this word. The beekeepers, they had the beekeepers for the state of Ohio, like, and they're like a beekeeping group, and they did like a little workshop on beekeeping. It was fascinating.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was super cool. I like to get someone like that on the show.
I once took an 8-week course on beekeeping.
Did you really?
Yeah, I kept a couple hives for a summer or two.
That'd be kind of cool.
It was quite interesting.
That damn rooster will not shut up. He is on it, man.
He just does that all
the time. You see in your hat, I got a notice today. I think it was on Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah, did you see that? First light. Getting into the waterfowl gear. I think what it say, June 2022. I mean, still too rich for my blood, but I don't know. First light, I like their stuff. I know Sitka is like the big top of the line brand and waterfowl. I'm sure First Light will. Their camo pattern, what you could see, it looked pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah, I listened to Meat Eater podcast today, and they were talking about that.
Were they?
Yeah. So. And now, well, you were talking about being out in the water with the ducks. They were saying that because of some of the drought conditions that are up in the upper central Midwest, okay, so like North Dakota and north into Canada and stuff, they've been so dry that they've lost like 80% of the ponds that were up there.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, and so it's going to affect the duck numbers. Now, there's the speckled belly goose, and I'm sorry if I'm screwing this up because I'm not a waterfowler like some people, but there are some species that are doing really well. However, there are most of the ducks and stuff are like not, it's not happening.
One of my old bosses is a real big duck hunter, and he was on the DU board for a while. I mean, that is his thing. And he booked a hunt to California, and it was the Pacific Flyway. And I asked him about kind of the migration patterns, because, you know, the same thing, you know, out there, they've lost a ton of water. And he said that the duck numbers in California are really good, and they're super concentrated. So if you're, you know, there's still water out there. If you're fortunate enough to have water, all the waterfowl are concentrated on those areas. So he said a lot of people, like a lot of these, like habitat or not habitat, but like ranches or, you know, whatever they are that offer duck hunting, like they've jacked their prices up because the duck numbers and the harvest numbers are so high, because instead of 100 ducks there in your pond, you've got 1,000 ducks, and it's just out of control. So I find that interesting. I'd like to see what the repercussions are on, like, the because if there's nowhere to land, I mean, you know, these ducks are going to land in cornfields or whatever, in little ponds and flooded, you know, so what are they going to do? And there's no protection from predators. It's got to have an impact somehow, and I'm not smart enough to know, but, you know, but their breeding season doesn't start until the spring. So.
Yeah, I think they were talking about things getting pushed back a little bit, which can be a challenge as well.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man. It's I know that guys are killing a lot of ducks out west right now. I've seen it floating around on Twitter and Instagram. It seems to be a good year, but
good.
Yeah,
good. Well, Paul, so we talked about we're going to do the kind of 2021 year in review. And I don't know, I got a few questions we can go over and thoughts, but I think it was a pretty good year overall. How about you?
2021 for me, professionally, personally, was really good. I know everything in this country, this world's going through, a lot of people are struggling, and if that's you, man, I wish you the best in 2022. You know, it's going to get better. I know a lot of people were hurting. Is in terms of like what this show is about, like hunting success, I didn't kill a turkey, I didn't kill a deer, I've killed some ducks, killed a bunch of rabbits, a bunch of squirrels, you know, so it was like the year of the small game, killed some pheasants, which was cool, but you know, the big two, man, I kind of struck out. A lot of that was, especially in the spring, man, I just had so much going on, you know, work-wise.
Yeah. I think if I had to rate my year, I'd give it about a B.
Yeah.
And because I got my deer in the freezer. I'm still looking for that buck. I'd like to get a buck over in Pennsylvania sometime, that's a different story. But we didn't get a turkey. So
no.
Coming up.
What did we go out? Twice? And those were your first spring turkey hunts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we did hear some turkeys. But that's kind of like a goal for me next year. I've got like a list of like five or six people that I want to help them get their first turkeys. Because I love that, man. Turkey hunting is my favorite. I know a lot of people kind of think that's, you know, turkeys and it's boring or whatever. You know, you don't think about it until, you know, the weekend before the season starts. And it is a daily thought for me.
Yeah.
So I actually, I mean, I can talk about it now by the time this airs, but I accepted a position with the NWTF that I start here in a few weeks. So I'm
congratulations.
Pretty, yeah, man, I'm pretty excited about that. So.
So now we'll have all the turkey news.
Oh yeah, man! I'm going to get paid to talk about wild turkey hunting. Are you kidding me, man? Oh come on! I'm a lucky guy. So, but yeah, 2021 for me hunting was tough. It was definitely a challenge. You know, like my son, I'm still trying to get him his first turkey. He's missed everyone. I mean, he doesn't listen to the show, so I'm going to badmouth his ass right now. But I mean, I have like we've had turkeys 15 yards from him, and he just blows the shots. I don't know what it is. When you practice and he gets excited. We had this spring we had a turkey at Tom. We roosted it the night before. We get in like I knew the area. I didn't know like specifically where this bird was. And dude, this turkey dropped out of the tree, gobbled once, dropped down of the tree, like 20 yards, stretched, gobbled again, and my son shoots like a foot over his head. And I'm just like, dude, I don't know what more you want.
That's funny.
Like at some point you gotta shoot this damn bird. So but yeah, so I've got a bunch of people that I want to get, because it's such a cool thing, man. It's a lot of fun, and it means a lot to me, and you know, that obviously means much to everybody, but it's so fun as hell.
So talking about goals for 2022, that's one of your goals.
Yeah, get for sure.
Some people their first birds.
Yeah.
Well, that was on my list of goals to get my first bird. That would be up there. And I really got to land it. I'd really like to land a nice buck next year. But
yeah.
I'm trying to think what other goals. Oh, I want to get into fly fishing a little bit. And I've got some people that I can lean on for this. Obviously, it's just buying the stuff that's necessary and then going out and doing it. But that's something I think to fill the time in the summer I'm gonna look into.
Yeah, I got someone gave me a bunch of Cabela's gift cards a couple years ago. And at the time I had sufficient equipment for turkey, and you know, I didn't really need anything specific at the moment. So I bought a bunch of fly rods. And you know, I didn't buy anything nice. It was like the starter Cabela kit or whatever, which I'm sure is junk, but I practiced in my backyard and learned to tie flies, and I went to the Big Derby here in Central Ohio, and I caught the world's two smallest smallmouth bass. That's all I caught, and I fished probably 30 times before I caught these two fish, and I caught them, you know, probably 5 days apart.
That's awesome.
But it was like just catching the first one, because it was probably, you know, I'd been fly fishing 15 times before I even caught a fish. You know, I'd miss a couple, or but man, it was cool. It was a lot of fun.
My cousin, her husband, he was a fly fishing guide out in Washington State for like 8 years. Hopefully we get him on here someday. Oh my gosh, we were down at Hilton Head last year, and he had the fly rod out because there was like a lagoon or whatever in the back. And the dude can throw the fly rod like 75 yards out there. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to try to get Troy. And
yeah, it's amazing. I was watching this video. This guy had like empty beer cans set up on a like on a ledge, and he had them, you know, like a foot apart or whatever. And he had probably a dozen of them, and he was just say 50 feet away. And he went down the line and just plinked those things off that ledge. I'm like, my God. Like, when I fly fish, I aim for an area that's like 1,000 square feet. Like, if I'm in that area, I'm happy. Like, okay, we made it. So
that's cool.
Yeah. No, that'd be a good trip. Let's talk about something like crazy. Like, what would be some crazy hunt that money, just throw it out the window. What would you do? 2022.
So, do you remember that guy, Corey, that used to be on this podcast with us?
I think it was Ringel, wasn't it?
Oh, Ringel, yeah.
Yeah, giant red beard.
He was on here, and then he disappeared, and I'm not sure where he's gone. He doesn't answer his phone anymore. It's not like this. Well, at one point, him and I were talking about going out to Colorado and elk hunting. So, I really like to go elk hunting at some point, just because it's so damn good. That meat is amazing. So yeah, every time
I've never had elk.
Oh man, it's really good.
Is it? So those elk hunts, like I like watching the videos. I would have to train religiously,
like weight train.
Yeah, like just exercise. And because I'm not like, I'm a bigger guy. I mean, you know, whatever. But I don't like to be last. I don't like to be the slow guy, you know, and that would literally kill me. If I went with a bunch of guys that are like in shape, I would die. Like it would be the end. So I think for me, like if I could choose like a crazy hunt to go on, I think I've got two. I would want to like moose hunt in Maine, you know, one of those northern,
the know, ones without the grizzly bears, that yeah, kind of an area.
Or it would be like a British Columbia or, you know, Vancouver, like that northern territory or northwest territory of like grizzly or brown bear or something. That would be cool. Moose hunt would definitely be my number one dream hunt.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I think we're going to try to do the elk thing maybe next year if we got enough time off and whatnot. So, so this year, looking back, Paul, what was one piece of gear that you either picked up or got the chance to use that you really thought was
beneficial? Cool,
beneficial, worth it, not a gimmick?
I think that, and this is like a pretty insignificant piece of equipment, but I bought Kennetrek Mountain leg gaiters for the first time. I hate wet pants. I hate it. And so they're just, they go, yeah, I mean, you, everyone knows what a leg gaiter is. I had just never used one. And that was like, that was life changing for me this turkey season. You know, walking through tall grass, I mean, it just drives me nuts. I hate when my legs get wet. But that was, that the leg gaiters were life changing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty basic. Like, it was nothing fancy. Right. It was like an $80 pair of leg gaiters or whatever it was. So
I'm trying to think. But, yeah. Oh, that saddle, man. I know I talk about it all the time, but I love that thing. And yeah, that's really been pretty beneficial.
Those things look cool, man. I want to get, I don't know. I want to try one out before I spend all the money on it. And I mean, I'm literally like twice your size, so I don't think your saddle is going to fit my fat ass.
We can try it someday. I mean, it's adjustable, and I have
it. Oh, is it really?
Yeah, I have it turned down pretty far.
Okay, because I saw they had Tethered had like an XL saddle or something. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, like, I don't know, I got that big hips or whatever you want to call it, childbirth and hips or some shit like that.
So. But yeah, so I got I know I've talked about it, but the Tethered Phantom saddle, pretty, whatever the standard kit and all that kind of stuff is, that wasn't cheap, but it turned out to be worth it in my mind. I used it almost the entire season, mm-hmm, outside of a couple, you know, sitting on the ground or gun hunts or whatever. But it just allows you to get in everywhere. It's super comfortable, like great radius, blend in with the tree pretty well. It takes a second to get used to, but once you're up there, man, that was something I was really...
Is it actually as comfortable as it looks? I mean, because I was watching Parker McDonald, because he's a big saddle hunter. I was watching some of his videos. And just, like, it looks super uncomfortable. Like, your knees are up against the tree, and, like...
So, You're not sitting in a hammock. I mean, you kind of are, but you're not. Mm-hmm. And I guess my thing is, just compared to any other stand I'd ever been in, yes, it is that much more comfortable.
Wow.
I feel like you can move around in a little bit. So, like, when there's times where my knee will be up against a tree, and if I sit there too long, maybe it'll fall asleep or just gets really stiff. But if you have the ability to move subtly, and I don't think it's too alarming to deer that might be in the area. So, I don't know. I think it's way more comfortable than any ladder stand that I'd ever been in. I did use a climber at one point, but that was decently comfortable. It just such a pain in the butt to get in and out of the woods. So
yeah,
and then the time I almost fell out of the tree in it.
So I saw this the platforms that you saddle hunters use. Are they aluminum? Are they heavy? Like what are they?
I think it's some kind of steel.
Are they heavy?
No.
So I saw this company on Instagram. I was fascinated by it. I follow them. I can't remember the name of it, but they were making saddle hunter platforms, and I think the sticks, but they're making it out of like carbon fiber or plastic, like high density plastic. And you know, like if a traditional saddle platform weighs like, I'm just gonna 4 pounds or whatever, this thing was like 1 pound.
Yeah,
and it was a big difference. And they were going through, they're talking about on their page, they were going through the testing, the safety, you know, testing everything. But I thought that was fascinating. Like if you're talking about being light and mobile, you know, 3-4 pounds, man, that adds up.
Well, and I know there's companies like Timber Ninja who has carbon fiber sticks. Those are very light, but they, to me, you're only going up the tree with that. Once you get to your platform, like that's the thing you're going to be in for hours.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I'm willing to give up, you know, strength for a little bit of weight. You know, and like a lot of the sets I have, I just have the platform sitting out there at all times. And I go out into the public, then it's just take it with you, and it's not that heavy. So I would want something very stable there. That being said, if the carbon fiber and stuff will hold up like they say it will, you know, might be worth it. So
it's going to take a lot to get me up in the tree, man.
Yeah. If there's something you're looking forward to trying in 2022, what are you thinking? It could be for your turkeys or any new calls or anything like that.
So I'm gonna get to do some out of state hunting for turkeys this year. I'm looking forward to that. So I've got
where are you going?
Right now I've got a Montana trip.
Ooh.
Yeah, I didn't tell you about. Booked. Gonna be booked. Not yet.
You didn't even tell me about that one.
That's part of the new gig. So I'm real excited about that one. So I'm gonna do it's fly fishing and turkey hunting trip to Montana. I've never been. I mean, I've been to like California and Nevada.
You get to take your co-host with you, right?
I should try that. So I am like beyond excited to do that. So that's something I'm looking forward to. I've done, you know, a fair amount of out of state hunting. But just that terrain type. That's I look at pictures and videos. I'm like, man, that looks so cool. Like I just want to get out there and experience it. So I'm looking forward to that. So,
well, that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what I got this. And this sounds really stupid, but I got a new grunt call. I should have brought it in here. It's Ninja something or other, but it's got
the Woodhaven.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Stortwees with okay. it, and like. I've never, this sounds so rookie, but whenever I've been out in the woods, like I'm usually the type, I'll grunt at deer to try to get them to come in. 50% of the time it might work. I don't bleat. I don't rattle a whole lot, but I this year specifically, I noticed a lot of guys, Matt Rinnell will be proud, on YouTube and stuff using the snortwees to really get these deer to come in. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple times this year where I had some big boys that were 60, 70 yards out. And they're kind of, I think that having snortwees would have been really helpful.
Yeah.
I think even when we talked to Dan, didn't he say he did it like 3 times to bring his in?
Yeah. He did it with his mouth.
Well, I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I have a big mouth, but I don't know if I could project enough to get. Yeah. So I got that new call with the combo there that I'm looking forward to. I think that might be helpful next year. But.
That will be. I was at Cabela's the other day, and they had an elk bugle on sale. Nice. I almost bought it just to like
Do you know how happy your wife would be
if you were
just sitting there banging on a...
So I go from like duck calls, and then I'll start transitioning to turkey calls about, I don't know, about 2 weeks. I'll start hitting the turkey trumpet and the box call. And she, it just, dude, frays her nerves, man. And what's funny, if I really want to get her all wound up, is I'll give both the girls like a box call or like a crow call or something. Yeah. And so they're running around crow calling. And my daughter, Mora, she can work a box call. Like, actually pretty decent. And I'll start hammering on something, and my wife Ashley is just like, "Get out of the house!"
Oh, that's so, so funny. It's
like I want to get this elk. I'll probably never hunt elk. I don't know if I do. It's gonna be, you know, one time, but I just want to be able to, like, I want to go to the woods during like deer bow season next year and just start hammering elk bugles. On public land, so that Mike Tonkovich is getting all sorts of like reports of elk living in.
You just keep yourself away. So, Ringel, they went out elk hunting a couple of years ago, and he somehow, like Dr. Doolittle, talked that elk, and like one of the only ones they saw, and came right into him.
That's awesome.
So I think it would be, that's definitely a component that, you know, deer are a little bit vocal, but not. Not like the elk.
Yeah. Ringo had that that elk mouth call, the cow elk
mewing thing.
Yeah, whatever it is, I don't know. The mew. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's one thing I can't use as a mouth call for turkeys. Can't do it.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. I get that damn gag reflex. I start. That's the worst. And you know what? I buy a damn mouth call every year. Every year I will try it.
I take them with me.
This is my year, you know?
When I'm driving around, so my job takes me just to drive and drive and drive, and I'll just sit there and just...
Try it. Yeah, I can't do it. I gave up years ago. Like, actually, but I still try every spring.
Yeah. So. What was the most memorable hunt this past year for you?
It was definitely my son, Mason, and my best friend, Kenny. We went to some public land in February of 21, just rabbit hunting, and man, it was just kicking up rabbits left and right, and it was just a lot of fun, man. It was snow everywhere, and it was just cool, man. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So, and it's just, you know, people are like, yeah, rabbit hunting, whatever, but I mean, we killed, I don't know, four or five of them, I can't remember, and yeah, it was just a good time, just one of those fun days, you know, so laughing and good stuff. So, what about you?
Oh man, and there's no such thing as a bad day hunting, right?
For sure.
Or is there? But the probably the time that we went down southeast Ohio that morning, it was just garbage weather and
yeah,
no idea where we're going, what we're doing, and able to take that doe home.
Yeah, that was cool. That was a good hunt.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
On the contrary, on the flip side, I mean, there's a lot of other good ones, but that one was just, it was fun with the group and everything. I was thinking about this. What was the worst hunt of the year for me? I don't like to complain, but that time where I got destroyed by the mosquitoes that and the poison ivy, like the opening weekend or whatever that was, that was pretty bad. I think the only thing that might have topped that, well, and then the time we went to the OLAP property and it was like 37 degrees pouring rain.
Yeah.
And I forgot my sticks. That one was kind of iffy. And then... I don't know. Maybe the one in Pennsylvania where I wrecked my truck. That might have been the icing on the cake.
You've had some doozies.
Dude, that's just how my life is. There's always something more.
You still don't have your truck back.
No, it's in the body shop now. So hopefully in the next week or two, we'll get it back and be back in business with that. So
it's funny.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what else, man. 2021 was a good year, and obviously we got started with our podcast here, but hopefully just keep going. We're going to ATA. One thing I do need to figure out is I gotta find some better Luminox to put in my arrows, because I've had a couple failures this year.
Yeah, you've had like one two or three day, failures this year. Yeah,
and it's very annoying, so I'm gonna look for that when we get down there.
Yeah,
hopefully we get down and figure out a few things and meet a couple people, get some other people on the podcast. But outside of that, man, turkey season will be here before long.
I can't wait, man.
Shed hunting.
Yeah. So we should do so. I'll give shed hunting. All the sheds I've ever found, completely by accident.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there's a method to shed hunting, you know, like find rubs. I don't know. But.
There, depends who you talk to. We'll cover that another day, but yeah. So to anybody else who's still out there, whether you're hunting ducks, what else is out there? Rabbits,
pheasants,
deer. Good luck. We got muzzleloader coming up this weekend. Yeah. Be safe. Please be safe. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Appreciate you guys.
Yep, take care.